Let's just stand up just for a moment. This, of course, is the New Testament church gathering is something that God says, don't forsake it. And it's a very important time. I believe that the miracle workers in the house.
Yes.
Amen.
And I just have prayed for all of you, and I believe that if we have a receptive heart, the Holy Spirit will be there. We receive Him now and thank God for His grace, and let His strength be made perfect in our weakness and my weakness, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm really happy to be here this morning. And sometimes when I start a message, it's just so strange. Sometimes I feel like, wow, you know, I don't have enough here. And then when I stand up here and, you know, look at it, I think I've got a week's worth of material. It's one of the things that has really been difficult for me is just like last week, I was doing a message on how God cancels out the past, and so many people have trouble with that. And I actually didn't even put a dent in the message, and I wrestled with the idea of, you know, continuing that, but for some reason I ended up, and I'm not saying I won't finish that, because the second part of the message was to get into healthy expectation. That's another area that sometimes we as Christians go wrong. We have expectations, but they're not healthy expectations where they're in the Lord. And we're trying to get God to do something that He never ordained. But anyway, that's for another time and place, and maybe next week we'll get into that. I want to talk about entering God's rest. In the past, I've done some thinking about entering God's rest. In other words, entering into, I'll put it in these terms, the finished work of redemption. Now, just because God has provided that finished work, I just want to say this about that. That doesn't mean that it's automatically realized or fulfilled in our life, and I'll show you what I mean by that. It doesn't mean it's not done. It doesn't mean that all the promises weren't given. It just means that I've noticed sometimes that Christians just think that it's all done, I don't have to do anything. Well, you have to labor to enter His rest. Now, our text is, I'll start out with Hebrews 4:11, which I think it's almost the last verse in the book of chapter 4. Let us labor, therefore, and we'll look at that word labor, to enter. That's another word. Into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, we know that the example of unbelief, of course, is where the Israelites came out of Egypt and wandered. Let me just put it this way. They wandered aimlessly in the wilderness. when you pick up a gun or a bow, you're not just doing this, wandering. You're going for the promise. You're going for the target. They wandered for 40 years and missed the greatest opportunity that they could have in life of entering into the rest of the promised land. Why did that happen? Because God tells us the same thing can happen to us if we end up falling under the same example of unbelief. Well, one of the things is that, you know, they did have unbelief. The promise that God made them when he preached the gospel to them was not mixed with faith to those that heard it. Okay, in other words, there wasn't effective faith. Okay, they heard it, just like we all hear the word of God, and but sometimes we don't mix effective faith that takes. Doesn't the Bible say lay hold on eternal life? There's a faith that takes something and takes it very seriously. So let's go to the first verse of Hebrews chapter 4. Let's just go there. If we could. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1. Just go right. And that's my fault. I didn't have that prepared. So if you can't do it, that's fine. I wanted to look at Hebrews chapter 1 and, or 4, I'm sorry. And I think I threw somebody off on that. It's my fault. Okay. Well, let me just, okay, now, okay, thank you. It wasn't in the game plan, so it ended up. Let us therefore fear. Now he's giving that statement due to the third chapter, and we'll look at all the things that, you know, that the Israelites did that caused them, you know, I mean, they were in total rebellion against God. It was a tragedy. So it says, let us therefore fear. And I think that sometimes we don't have a reverential fear of God anymore. Okay, and I just want to say sometimes with the way grace is taught, I don't deny the power of grace. Please understand that. But it's just an anything goes, live any way you want. Don't take anything serious. Okay, now we know there's two kinds of fear. There's the satanic fear, and then there's reverential fear. Right. A respect, putting above all, okay, a respect for what God says, okay, you know, taking that very seriously. And it says, least a promise being left us. So we have to even talk about promises now. Okay. Of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. Now the promises, of course, are the exact details of what Christ did on the cross to finish our redemption. So we didn't have to do any of that. We didn't have to provide the promises. We don't have to earn the promises. Okay. We just have to labor to enter into the promises. Okay. Okay. And I think that's sometimes where we can get mixed up with this thing. Entering God's rest is laboring to enter God's rest is not a passive, it's an active, now get this, it's an active faith in renewing your mind on that promise, in purposing to lay hold of that promise and enter into the reality of that promise in your life. Okay. It's active, not passive. I've
heard people say, well, it's all done. Don't have to do anything, but they don't know the promises. They've never renewed their mind to specific promises. Okay, you understand what I'm trying to say? They've never labored, okay? That word labor to enter into his promises, simply means putting forth a diligent effort and making those promises a priority in your life to enter into them. So there's going to be your part. You have to do the renewing. Okay, how do I put that? God, we have to do the labor. Okay. God does his part by, we have to do the renewing. I used to put it this way. We have to do the renewing. That's our part. We need to be diligent to do the renewing. And God does the transforming. Okay, now the Holy Spirit isn't going to do any transforming if we're passive and not diligently active in renewing our mind. Okay. So laboring is, we can look at an interpretation of laboring in a few places in Scripture. So, well, what does that word mean? Well, Hebrews 11:6 gives us a pretty clear interpretation of what it means to labor to enter in. The Bible says, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that what? Diligently seek him. Now, there's Christians that don't diligently seek. Sometimes we don't diligently seek. And we don't get the reward of entering into the promise. See? What is the reward? He's a rewarder. The promise, the reality of the promise in your life. You see? Could there be any greater reward? Could there be any greater reward? Okay, that's a powerful scripture. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, there's all kinds of promises that we could look at. You know, we're going to talk about Psalm 91. I think we've lost hold of our position in Christ. You know, one scripture says, seek ye first. You're going to be diligent about something, you're going to put it first. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and it's talking about material provision. Okay, you know, we're living in a world where there's constantly a changing economy. Sometimes things are collapsing. Sometimes the due to the debt in the economy, the cost of everything goes sky high. But yet we have a promise under any circumstance that if we, do you think God wants us to fear the changing world and all the things that are happening and the danger of the economy collapsing and bank bail-ins? Not a good place to put your money in the bank because it's legal to have a bail-in. In other words, it's legal for them to withhold and control your money. That would cause anyone to at least be concerned, you know, about what could go wrong. And that I'm not advocating that we don't use wisdom in these situations to protect our assets. I'm just saying that I don't believe you should get out of bed in the morning. If you're concerned about something, pray about it. But I don't think we should get out of bed in the morning worrying about our provision. You know, God said that he would add it if we would put him first. And sometimes we put all these other things first trying to get provision. When God says, look, seek the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and all these things are going to be added. I'll add them. I am bigger than world conditions. I am bigger than threatening circumstances. I am bigger than man-made lack. I am God. I am your God. And I am more than able to keep my promise to provide. Okay. And you know, people get all mixed up about that too, but he promised he'd provide.
Amen.
He promised that he would provide adequately and abundantly the real legitimate needs that you have as a person. Well, that maybe I needed to say that for somebody that's worried, you know, about what's going to happen now with all the changes that are occurring. God's going to happen.
Amen.
That's what's going to happen. Well, let's look at our verse. Let's go back to Hebrews 1. See, without faith it's impossible to please him, and he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Okay, so you have to mix. The mistake the Israelites made, they did not, the gospel was preached to them as well as unto us, but they didn't mix what they heard with faith and those that heard it. They didn't exercise any faith whatsoever. Every little circumstance that came up that tested their faith, you know, they doubted. They were in unbelief. They were. So let us fear at least the promise being left us of entering in. I think we need to really, there are certain things that we need to fear God on. Because if we see their end, don't let me go there, but I just want you to know that there's a lot of teaching about God that I do have a difficulty with sometimes. Another topic. I better shut my mouth or I'm going to be in trouble. So entering God's rest is not a passive, but it's an exercise of effective faith. Now, you know from Scripture that what does the Scripture say about faith? Without works, it's dead being alone. If you don't act on your faith, Okay, now, you know, I had to get up this morning and act in faith to be here. Otherwise, it would have been dead faith had I prayed, Lord, get me to the service, and then not come. Okay. And the Israelites, you know, one of the things they did is they wandered aimlessly. Now, my brother and sister, when you're struggling in an area, you have to go. You have to go after the promise that you haven't entered into yet. You haven't entered into the rest of that promise. It can be very difficult. That's what you need to go after. And the lifestyle of our culture right now is a lifestyle of total and complete distraction from the things of God. Cell phones and computers. I've never heard the voice of God speak through a computer or a cell phone. But that's what we're preoccupied with constantly. And oh yes, we are renewing our mind, but to what? Your mind is going to be renewed, but it's going to be renewed on the things that you are pursuing. Right. And a Sunday morning message isn't going to cut it. You got to be diligent 7 days a week if you're really going to go after a promise. Okay. Don't come short of it. Now, I've just got too much material here, and I don't know. Okay. So, and then the next scripture that talks about this, of course, is one that we're familiar with. It's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Okay. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. See, that's the problem right now, is people are being conformed to CNN, Wolf Blitzer. I don't even know if he's on, because I haven't watched it in 3 years, but I mean, okay. Don't get me going there. You know who controls those news outlets? You don't. Is what you're hearing from God? Is what they're speaking from God? That's why, personally, I have a hard time believing all the statistics and all the other stuff that we're being told. Yeah. But we know one thing we can believe.
Amen.
And that's the Word of God.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
And sometimes things get desperate enough. You know, that's one of the things that the Israelites that fell, they did not listen to God. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Who does that? Who does the renewing?
I do.
We renew our mind, and what does God do? He does the transforming. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to prove something? You want proof? You want proof? God proves things in your own heart. Okay, I can take somebody else's word for it, but I can't have their faith. I can only have my own. And it isn't going to come by being passive or taking someone else's word for it. I got to prove it within my own heart. I've got to know it in here. And then have a testimony. This is my testimony. This is my story. This is how God, this is how I entered into the promise of God and the reality of that promise. Okay? And there are other scriptures. I mean, we could go on and on and on those. The whole idea of diligently something that you really want, if you can identify, you're diligent to pursue that, aren't you? I'm not trying. You're diligent for something, for whatever reason you want, you will be diligent to pursue it. Psalm 105, verse 4. Let's just go real quickly over a few scriptures here. And then Psalm 105. I have a list, I think, that I put right on that. Okay. Glory His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. I guarantee you, when you're under a lot of pressure, you're going to seek the Lord. Matthew 7:7. Matthew 7:7. Okay, yeah. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Well, anyway, I had scriptures on that. I want to talk about Psalm 91 this morning, just for a moment, as a promise. And if there's a way we could put Psalm 91 up. We're being assaulted.
Yes.
And you know what? I'm not taking it no more. Okay, it's my responsibility to preach the truth. Amen. And Psalm 91 is the truth. I've always, in my past, I walked in Psalm 91. When I got baptized as a Christian in the Lord, after I received the Lord, I walked. I renewed my mind. I was diligent to renew my mind. I would walk around with cards in my hands, and I'm not advocating you have to do that today. We didn't have the same communication systems we do now, but I would walk in that, and I had Psalm 91 memorized. I think I still do. Today, Psalm 91 is something that is just insignificant. COVID rules.
Come on. Yeah.
Because we've lost our stand. We've lost the truth. I guarantee you, your mind will change and you'll start to grow if you will take Psalm 91 and begin to confess it and thank God for it. Let's go to Psalm 91 just for a moment, please. Is it up there? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, we know dwelling in Christ is the truth.
Yep.
That's our dwelling. He's our... let's go to verse 2. I will say... of the Lord.
I will say.
Uh-huh.
I like it.
Come on. Just stop and think of what I just said. I will say of the Lord. What are we saying? What are we saying? What have we been saying? I'm as guilty as anyone. Okay, but what are we saying? I will say of the Lord, He is what? My refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. You know, I'm just getting tired of being intimidated by this nonsense. Okay. Have you been confessing Psalm 91? You better, because things are coming on this earth that you better have, your faith better grow, folks. It ain't going to get any easier with the things that are coming on the face of this earth. Okay. We're going to have to give in to them or face them. And we're going to have to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So, what does the Bible say? It says, let the redeemed of the Lord, what? Say so. Whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Yeah. Now, what's bigger in your life? The hand of the enemy and what he's putting out now. Folks, this is worldwide. This was planned. We have to face it, and we haven't done a very good job at facing it. I apologize for not immediately. And even if I tell you to read Psalm 91, you may not do it anyway. That's not my fault. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Let's go to verse 3. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and what? From the noisome pestilence. Everybody say surely.
Surely.
Let's say it. Surely He shall deliver thee.
He shall deliver me.
From the snare of the fowler.
From the snare of the fowler.
And from the noisome pestilence.
And from the noisome.
Now this world is definitely trying to snare you into their mindset. Verse 4, He shall cover thee with His feathers. And I'm not going to interpret all this because I didn't study it that carefully. And under His wings shalt thou trust. Okay. Folks, are you under His wings?
Yes.
His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. So you have something you have to. What about the shield of faith when the enemy comes? Do you put up the shield of faith? Okay, verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid. What has happened to our world? They're afraid. They're afraid. For the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's go on to verse 6. Nor for the pestilence that walks in what? It walks in darkness. It walks in darkness. Shine the light to overcome the darkness, right? Pestilence walks in darkness. Disease walks in darkness. Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Let's go to verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Okay, let's go to verse 9. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any, here it is again, plague come nigh thy. Now I'm reading Psalm 91. This isn't my opinion. This is what God said. He shall give his angels, verse 11, charge over thee to keep thee. Okay, I can remember so many times in the past that people would say after the service, Pastor, there were big angels on the platform around you. Are not the angels sent forth to minister for those who are heirs of salvation? If it wouldn't be for angels, I'd be dead today. Okay, my message isn't on angels, but I'd be dead today. I've had supernatural deliverances that have involved angels. They're on assignment when we're acknowledging their purpose in our life. Let's look at verse 12. I just love that scripture on angels, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh my God, are they real?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, are they real?
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah.
They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. One time I fell and I went out hunting. It was pitch black. It was in the morning and I was all alone. I walked back to my spot and I got up to my stand and I slipped. The branch was big. I literally felt angels bring me down, and when I was on the ground, I was just standing up. Couldn't even feel the... This is a powerful verse of scripture. Let's look at verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because thou hast set his love upon me, because he has set his love upon you. Do you believe God set his love on you? Do you believe God set his love on you? Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Let's look at verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. And I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I don't know much about, you know, I don't know everything about death, but I do know this, that sometimes there are premature deaths. Some people would say, no, that is, I don't want to talk about, you know, I don't want to complicate it with the sovereignty of God. But when they abort a little baby out of the womb, that's a premature death. That baby was intended by God to be born. So man does have a choice, right?
Yeah.
With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's Psalm 91. Now, I'd be willing to print up a Psalm 91 card, even though most of the time, sometimes that doesn't seem to work very well either. But we got to get diligent about our relationship with God. What's coming on this earth demands that we walk in faith and overcome. Hebrews 11:6 says, "We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the fullness, to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Hebrews 11:6. And then it says, "For whosoever enters God's rest also rests from his own works, just as God did from his." Hebrews 4:11. I've just got so much here today that it's too much, you know. And I have scriptures on grieving the Holy Spirit, how God was grieved. Some people have removed, and this is, I just want to say this, you may be mad at me, but some people have removed the wrath of God from the equation. But the Bible says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness. Now, you know, take it for what it is, but there is a doctrine of the wrath of God that is just as real as any other doctrine in the Bible. And people get real nervous, like, you know, God put all his wrath on Jesus. Well, I read a chapter, and I think I gave you that book. I'm getting in trouble now. On the sovereignty of God. And there's a chapter in there on the wrath of God. Okay. And when I studied chapter 3 of Hebrews, people don't even want to go there, but their God's wrath was poured out on those people after 10 times. Okay, it's all there in Scripture. Okay, not a popular message, and if I were to try and teach it in most places, I would be blackballed. Anyway, I won't get into that because I'm not, right now, I'm not qualified to teach that right now. But it's there, and we need to understand that as well as the doctrine of hell. That's never preached now at all in any churches, and either is the wrath of God that's revealed from heaven. Well, I'm in trouble, I know, but... And so, let me just quickly go over this and we'll close. They were not willing to listen. They hardened their hearts. They lived in a lifestyle where they provoked God to anger. They gave in to temptation in their life. You know, it's one thing to be tempted in sin, and it's another thing to have temptation, giving in to temptation daily as a lifestyle. They walked in a spirit of doubt and unbelief. They walked in a spirit of rebellion against Moses. God was grieved. Hebrews 3:10. Let's look at it just very quickly. Hebrews 3:10, if you can get to it. "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err." Where is all this going on? It's in the heart. Their heart wasn't right with God. That's why when you go to the communion service, you get your heart right with God. You rededicate your heart to God. You tell God, you know, my heart belongs to you, Lord. And then they have not known my ways, not because they couldn't have known God's ways. They were, God was trying to show them his ways, but they weren't interested. It's just like this morning, you know, I come out and I talk about renewing your mind and entering into the rest. And they weren't interested. Okay. And it grieved God. Let's just look at a couple more, and we're going to close. But Numbers 14, 22 through 24. Let's look at that scripture. Because all these men which have seen my glory, I mean, these people saw from the Red Sea, and God providing miraculously for 40 years. I mean, my God, their shoes didn't even wore out. Got to go buy a new pair every week now. You know, I mean, it just... They couldn't go to the... They couldn't go to the store and buy a new pair of shoes. They had, you know, God made them... Don't you think God can make things last? My wife drove around a little, I don't know what kind of car it was, and she always blessed it. My God, you couldn't wear that car out. She finally sold it, and somebody else was driving it around, you know. These things can be real. Because all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, I have not hearkened. They have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. Well, you think God was cruel, or was he long-suffering with them and kept trying to have them turn their heart? Okay, and finally he just removes the grace that would have been there to enter, to renew their minds and enter into the promises, okay? And that goes for 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 12, talking about people in the end times. If we could turn there, it's talking about people that, and then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why do they perish? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved.
Yep.
Okay. They grieve the Holy Spirit. They committed the unpardonable sin. In other words, they would not turn to God. You know, and they died in their sins. You know, God was there. God was trying to convict them of their sins, to lead them to himself. That's how he is with every human being on the planet. God is not a cruel God. He so loved the world. Mm-hmm. Now you got all these doctrines out there that, you know, God would never send anybody to hell. God is a loving God. Well, then you might as just as well live the way you want to live. Forget about relating to God. Forget about being with God. Not going to go to hell anyway. Yep. Well, stand up this morning. Thank you for your undivided attention.
Yes.